This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Radio calling program where you can take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever is on your mind. The telephone number, should you wish to call, is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's
Peakless Mountaineer,
Richie Rich.
And I am your host tonight, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Before we go on, I want to say thank you to tonight's amplifier. What is an amplifier, you might ask? Well, an amplifier is somebody who has visited amps.freetalklive.com and decided they like this show enough to give us some money for the purposes of advertising, marketing, promoting, and supporting. What does that really mean? Like, you know, layman's terms, Captain. It means they like the hosts, the co-hosts, the callers, the topics, the perspective of freedom, peace, liberty, prosperity that we bring. They like it enough that they want to help spread the message of freedom. And they think it's a good use of their liberty dollar to help us get on more radio stations. We're currently on around 180 radio stations. We could be on 200, 250, 300, 350. Not out of the question. It's all up to you. This week's amplifier is somebody named Monero FTW.
Nice.
So thank you, Monero FTW, for your contribution to this program, helping us advertise, market, promote, and support. If you want to find out more, visit amps.freetalklive.com. And thanks again, Monero FTW. We appreciate you. All right. So we have been talking about, well, all sorts of things. We were most recently talking about a bunch of a-holes in government.
Isn't that what we always talk about?
I mean,
thematically?
We were more specifically. This is the niche, right? We're talking about government a-holes sort of persecuting another government a-hole. And, like, I don't pay attention to that because, like, the whole system is, like, a thing that should go away. And so whatever happens within the system, if there's, like, infighting, like, I applaud that. But I'm certainly not going to waste my valuable time reading about it.
Mm. I want to see more of it. Oh, there goes the coffee.
Yeah, I didn't know that this had gone on until Gigi called in with it. But I will say that I did look into, like, how you are supposed to remove people from office. And that ain't it.
Okay.
Like, that's what impeachment is for, is you get impeached, then you have a trial, then you get removed from office.
Does removing people from office involve the use of, like, heavy equipment, like a crane or something like that, for example?
Or a guillotine, perhaps.
Perhaps a modified bulldozer.
Something. Yeah,
something,
yeah.
You know. I'm just thinking out loud here. I don't really know the answer to these questions, but, you know, because I don't pay attention to, like, infighting in government, right? I don't care. Like, you guys are literally oppressing everyone through taxation, through the threat and use of coercion and violence. Like, if you're bickering amongst yourselves and you're fighting amongst yourselves, like, the only thing I'd like to do is throw some fuel on that fire.
Yes.
You know?
Which is why, like, the impeachment of Trump, for all it's worth, I'm very hopeful that it sparks a bunch of retaliation.
Okay.
Right. Just back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you impeached our guy, then we're going to impeach your guy.
Right.
And then they just tie themselves up fighting with each other and hopefully not passing any new laws.
Yeah. Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts. We've got Rob in Vermont calling. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live.
I got to agree with Richie. I would really like to see, more knockdown, drag out fights between the two parties. Like, there was one that came close. What was it, a couple, two, 3 weeks ago? Bernie Sanders was overseeing the hearing, and, guy that, you know, represented the, was a Teamsters Union, I think. He challenged the senator to, you know, to stand his butt up.
Well, no, it
you
was know, the other way around. It was the senator that challenged the Teamster.
To do what?
Oh, okay, that,
challenged
right,
him to a fight.
Wrong.
Nice!
Because the senator was like an independent plumber or something, like in his past life. And the Teamster was protecting the unions. He's like, we could do this like men, and we can just step outside. And the Teamster guy's like, whenever you want to. The guy goes, okay, let's just do it now. And then starts to get up and walk outside. And Teamster guy's like, nope, sit down. And then his boss, you know, tell him to sit down, and you're not going to go out and fight.
Well, I guess we know who won that.
Yeah, the senator.
Yeah.
Senator did. Hey. He was getting ready to take off his wedding band. He, you know. I mean, I think that we need to see more of this because these people, they cause harm to all of us.
Right. I think we need to reclaim our heritage because back in the day, Congress would fist fight each other. Like, they'd go to Congress to vote with, like...
What?
Yeah, they would go to work with canes, with heavy balls on the top, because they might need to bash some skulls
in. He said heavy
this
balls.
This is actually a thing that we used to do in this country, and I think we should do more of it, because then they're fighting each other, and not all of us.
Yeah, I want, like, if politicians have to exist, particularly... when they have an inter-country conflict, right? They should not conscript the young, right? Give them guns and tell them to go fight people they've never met, whom they have no quarrel with, etc., and so on. No, instead, they should have the balls to get in the ring with one of these other supposed leaders of the
supposed
country. I'm
glad you guys are, like, finally coming on my side.
Exactly.
Because fundamentally, this is a man thing, right? You're challenged to a fight.
Yep.
A fist fight,
yep.
Right? Like, do you accept or not?
I'll meet you at the football field at 3:45 after school,
man. If you say yes, you got to go.
Yeah.
Right. You got to go and either, you know, win or lose.
Otherwise,
you got to fight.
You lose.
You
like,
lose.
If you don't show up to the fight, then you lost
you forfeit,
that fight.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And if that fight was an extension of an argument, then you lost that argument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, whatever your position was, you are now wrong.
If these politicians were really leaders, which they're not, by the way, if you know the definition of leader, if they were really leaders, though, they would be the first ones to pick up a gun and go and join whatever war du jour they happen to be sponsoring.
Azov Battalion.
There's one person out there, I believe, that could straighten this all out. And that's Vernon Supreme.
Not where I thought you were going with this, but all right.
Hey, look, not only do the people in the United States need Vernon Supreme, they deserve him.
That's true.
Well,
that's true. We deserve Vernon Supreme.
Vernon Supreme is a very good clown, but he's also a socialist clown, and we ought to keep that in mind.
I don't know what I would do with my pony.
Sell it.
Like, I
pony
mean,
meat.
Oh, I'd have to pony up for that.
Yeah, the first pony barbecue.
Yeah, you can't sell a pony in that economy.
You'd have
Why
to
not?
Wait
well, because the price of ponies has gone through the floor as soon as they were provided by the state.
Yeah.
Well, but someone wants two ponies.
Or you wait.
I mean, it's better than eating it.
You wait until it becomes
a horse.
I know
people who buy food stamps. There's a market.
Yeah. Rob, anything else?
Yeah, I just want to end with something a little different, and that is that, you know, there's been this problem with homelessness, you know, across the United States. It's really kind of sad. But, you know, I thought about it today, and I said, you know, if they took that youth detention center that's over in Manchester and got the kids out of there, why not let the homeless people live there? Just a thought, that's all.
It's a terrible thought.
Rob, thanks for the call, man. We appreciate you.
But what's wrong with that plan?
What's wrong? Because that's on a similar level, that's what they're trying to do in, like, California with vacant hotel rooms. Well, you've got the room available. You're not filling up for the night. Let's just put homeless people in there.
Yeah.
And it's a violation of the hotel owner's property.
But we're talking about a government facility.
Okay.
I am all for putting the homeless in a government facility instead of it doing what it was doing.
What, like
jail? Then just put them in jail. Yeah. Three hots and a bed.
No, like voluntarily. Like, make it available if they want to go there. Not forcing them into that building. But hey, since we've decided to stop being horrible to children here, and we've got some extra space, a roof if you want it.
Why can't that also be jail? You don't have to lock the cell door.
Yeah.
I mean, we
just
don't...
bring them food and give them a mattress.
We don't really have a homeless problem. We have a houseless problem. The problem is, of course, the balance between distribution is caused because there's an imbalance of distribution and an over-regulation when it comes to markets. So
yeah.
That is to say, there are enough vacant homes, apartments, etc., and so on. There are enough places, there are more than enough places for everyone in the United States to have their own place. But the distribution of said places sucks because of overregulation, government interference, et cetera, and so on.
Well,
inflation, people can't afford crap anymore.
Well, and the biggest reason we have so many extra places is because the saving power of the dollar is non-existent.
Right.
So people, instead of saving in dollars, they save in stocks, they save in homes, in this case. So there's way more houses built than there actually is demand to buy them.
Well, okay, so let's pause there then. What government regulation is keeping those prices inflated above the market level?
Printing money.
No, that's general inflation, right? If there's an over-demand for houses, or oversupply, I should say, of houses, right, the market should adjust to make that excess property, right,
and
affordable
for
people who are demanding it.
And if we could save in dollars, that's exactly what would happen. But saving in dollars is a losing bet.
Well, yeah, you're talking about whether or not people demanding the houses can save up enough to afford it. What I'm suggesting is that if with an overabundance of supply, the price should regulate down towards the demand, and you would
all
not
things
need.
Being equal.
Well,
but
that's
what's
my,
not
my question.
Equal is that you don't have the ability to save, and since we don't have ordinary savings tools. Which a decent dollar would be an ordinary savings tool.
Sure.
But since we don't have that, people find other ways to save.
I got
ways
it.
That don't devalue.
But there's still an oversupply.
So to kind of assist you with your question. So to Peekless's point, do you remember we did a couple of times we talked about it here on Free Talk Live, where like China is buying all this real estate and building all these like condos or whatever, and going unoccupied, right?
Yeah, ghost cities.
That's happening here, but at a more micro level, right?
Exactly.
Builders are buying plots of property, building a bunch of houses, townhomes, whatever it is.
Not being able to sell it, making no money on it.
Well, but they're sitting on it because the value of the real estate itself continues to increase.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter if it's purchased or not. They're still making money.
How are you making money?
In number because of dollars.
Because
if they put $300,000 into a piece of property and no one buys it, no one rents it, in 5 years from now, that thing is still going to be worth like a couple hundred thousand dollars more.
Well, okay.
So they've made, quote unquote,
they haven't made
dollars.
Anything. You don't make anything until you sell it.
They've increased the number. Well, okay.
They've increased the value on paper.
But they can also now take out a loan against that.
Okay.
Right? So they have an asset that is worth something, even if it goes unoccupied. So then the other things that get in the way.
So is this a market incentive or is this a government incentive to continue to hold on to non-profitable assets?
But it is profitable.
It's not profitable until they sell it.
No, he just went over this. Even if they don't sell it.
The value goes up. I got it.
Right.
And made no profit on that.
Well, no. And not only can they get the profit if they chose to sell it.
They would have to sell it.
But they can take out a loan against that property.
That's
not a profit. Which lets them, A, hold on to the property.
Understood.
And, B, get dollars.
Understood.
If there's a thing that can get you dollars...
When you take out a loan, you are in more debt. You have not made a profit.
When the price of acquisition is, and I'm just using $300,000 for
that's
a nice
fine.
Round
I'll
number.
The examples.
The price of acquisition is $300,000. They take, you know, that's all it cost them, and they build, you know, two homes for that amount
whatever.
Of money, whatever it is. And then in 2 years, that property is now worth $500,000.
They have still made no profit.
But then they take out a loan for $400,000.
They are now $900,000 in the hole.
Are they? Or have they just made $100,000?
No, because they sunk $300,000 into the property. Now they're negative $300,000.
Because they can all they can sell for $100,000 more than the loan they're taking out.
They cannot sell. That's the whole point. That's why there's an oversupply. If they can sell, they can take a profit. But if they're sitting on if there's an abundance of unsold homes,
yes,
of which we're going to place these homeless people, right, then those homes are not an oversupply. Right, they can't put homeless people in them because the homeless people can't afford them. So they spent $300,000 on the land. They put two houses on it, $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then they took out a loan for however much that got you to your 900 number. All of those is outflow of cash. Not one thing you have described is an inflow of cash.
It's not. No, you're right. It's not profit.
Then how are they making money?
You're correct.
Well, so let's look at your example of selling the house for $300,000.
Okay.
So,
well, how much their acquisition cost was $300,000
to
buy the property and buy the house.
Okay. So let's look at selling it for $300,000 or for $500,000. Okay. Now, in either case, how much of that is going to go to taxes?
I don't know. Make up a number.
A lot.
Okay.
A big old chunk of that is going to go to taxes. Now, what do I want out of this deal? I want the two or three or four or whatever $100,000 that I then get to spend on stuff.
Right, but you would have had that already.
That's what I want. I want purchasing power. Now, if I can use the loan that I get on this to both A, get the purchasing power, and B, not have to pay taxes, then it's even better than selling the property would have been for what I actually want. Depends.
Well, okay.
Well,
also fair then.
Well, and again,
in general,
so if I borrow $500,000, using my what cost me $300,000.
Yeah.
Now, if I then turn around and I buy another $300,000 property,
you're still in the negative by another $300,000.
But I got to spend $200,000.
You didn't get to spend it. You have to pay it.
No,
back.
Sure, I can totally spend it.
But you have to pay it back.
Sure.
It's a loan.
Sure.
You have to earn it somewhere else.
Right.
And the hope
but
is that
no,
you'll
I
earn
just bought a new property that is now going to be worth another $500,000.
It's still paper money. You've made no money.
All
so
money's
far.
Paper. What matters is your ability to spend.
All money is not paper.
Okay.
Well, that's true. But all dollars are paper.
So
on paper, on the accounting books, you were in the negative at like every step of the way of the whole example.
Yeah, yes. But in actuality, I got to buy whatever I wanted that whole time.
Right, and again,
I got to buy my Ferrari. I got to eat out.
Yes.
I got to do all the things that I wanted to do that I could have also done by selling the house and paying the government.
And under normal,
or not.
Under normal circumstances, you would have to generate money somewhere else to pay that loan back.
Right, but this is how messed up the real estate market is. So I want to go back, though, to the things that I think are interfering with the real estate market, preventing not just inflation, but preventing people from being able to get into houses. Did I just snort there?
A little bit.
Was it? Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Good morning.
I'm trying to remember all of them. Freddie Mac. Fannie Mae. FHA.
Okay.
There's a few other ones that I can't think of, but those are the big three, I think. What these things, these acronyms do, is allow people who otherwise couldn't afford property to be able to get into property. And it encourages irresponsibility.
Okay.
Right. We saw this in 2008. The housing collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Right before that thing happened, oh my gosh, you could not get away from the commercials. They were on the radio, the television, the internet, everywhere about bad credit, no credit, horrible credit, don't make any money. We don't care. We'll give you a loan and get you in a house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's coming around again because, as noted earlier, people can't afford to get into a house.
Right.
Right.
So it's this never-ending cycle of, oh, okay, the government overregulated. Now the government's going to step in and put out a program that you can qualify for. I hate that word, qualify, because you're not really qualified. You're getting hornswoggled is what you're doing. Right?
Well, the taxpayers are getting hornswoggled.
Oh, yeah.
The homeowner's getting a deal.
the homeowner is getting a property with which they cannot afford.
Or not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're picking your pocket with one hand, handing half of it to you with the other.
Well, okay, if you want to talk about taxes, fine. But in general, like right now, I could afford a mortgage for a much nicer place than my rent.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, rent is higher than a mortgage.
Generally
speaking.
But I can't save up the down payment for a house on my own, right? But if I had zero down and had lower payments on the mortgage than I have on my rent, I would be ahead immediately.
Right.
And at some point, because I now can afford it, I have more disposable income. I can make all the payments on the house for 30 years or whatever the term is, as long as I keep my job, you know, all things being equal.
That's no longer the case, and just in the last year or two, when the interest rates or whatever
were hiked faster than at any time in history.
So like right now, it used to be that an individual making $60,000 a year could qualify for a mortgage on something around the average price in the U.S.
Okay.
Right? So we're talking $250,000 property, for example. That has now gone up to like almost $100,000. So unless you're making $100,000 a year as an individual, you ain't even going to qualify for a mortgage.
Right.
Under standard banking laws.
Right.
Right. But you have these government programs, no money down, very low interest, and all of a sudden people who couldn't qualify for a regular loan
but
are now offered this, and if they're in a similar situation as I am, can afford a house now.
As I understand it, no, you can't, because without the 20% down, your mortgage now exceeds rent.
Okay.
Right, because you're putting no money down, it has to come out somewhere.
No, it comes from the value of the home that I buy.
And
it may not be the nicest home on the block.
But you're not going to get the below rent mortgage rate without putting a substantial down payment. You're going to get a mortgage that is either at or above what you're paying in rent because of the zero down.
Depends on the value of the home that I buy. And what I'm suggesting...
The price of the home.
Yes.
Not the value.
Yeah, the price depends on the price of the home that I buy.
Right.
I can buy a home... Right, with a lower mortgage than my rent, and be better off than like the one bedroom I'm in now.
Not right now, you can't.
What are you talking about?
Well, so for one thing, right now no one is leaving their homes because they'll have to refinance, and refinancing now is a sucker's bet.
Well, let's just say you make $60,000 a year, and you can qualify for a mortgage with government help at zero down. The interest rate that you're going to have right now is going to put that mortgage at about what you're paying for rent anyway.
Which means I can still afford it because I don't miss rent.
603-283-6160. Have you been hosed on property because of government regulation? Give us a call. Let us know. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lungs. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The week-long ceasefire, which involved the exchange of dozens of hostages held by Hamas for scores of Palestinian prisoners held by Israel, ended on Friday morning, leading to renewed hostilities between Israel and Hamas. As mediators work to facilitate another swap, uncertainties arise regarding the individuals still in captivity in the besieged enclave. According to Israel, as of Friday, there are 136 hostages in Gaza, including 119 men and 17 women and children, as reported by military spokesperson Daniel Haggerty. A former gang member and FBI informant currently incarcerated was charged with attempted murder for stabbing ex-Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin 22 times at a federal prison in Arizona. John Tursak, serving a 30-year sentence for crimes related to a Mexican mafia gang, admitted to planning the attack for about a month due to Chauvin's high-profile status as a convicted murderer of George Floyd. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back. Thank you for listening and tuning in to Free Talk Live. The telephone number is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
We still have to talk about libertarianism. Is it a dangerous and ineffective political philosophy?
Dun, dun, dun.
And it seems almost, I don't know what the right word is, but let's just go to it anyway. It's Skeeter calling from his mom's basement somewhere in California.
Oh, the right word, but it's...
Yeah, that's... Yeah, not only is it a dangerous idea, it's the most dangerous idea.
What's dangerous about
it? More so than communism and democracy themselves.
Wow.
But you repeat yourself.
The danger is that it's inefficient, and the fact that...
More inefficient than communism?
That's really funny.
It's comedy.
Let me tell you why. I mean, communism is inefficient.
Communism murders people across the globe, yeah, but this will be inefficient.
Because the inefficiency is much less intense with libertarianism, but it lasts a much longer time. So, and
well, that's because communism, everybody starves in the first few years.
The total damage is pretty much the same. If you have an intensity of inefficiency that's twice as the other, but the lesser lasts twice as long, you suffer the same amount of damage. But what's more dangerous is that it delays your recovery process.
I feel like he's describing statism.
Dangerous.
Mm.
No, I'm the inefficiency is the non-aggression principle. The market uses aggression as a tool. It only cares about evolutionary profit.
You could be forcing people to give you money instead of trading voluntarily.
And here's the thing. Here's another thing why I hate libertarianism. You guys keep saying this mantra that you keep saying this mantra that taxation is theft, and it's not.
It's extortion, technically.
It's not. It's not even extortion.
Yes, it is.
It's the price you pay for civilized society, Kevin.
No, it isn't.
No.
Extortion is the price you pay for civilized society.
It's completely voluntary.
No, it isn't.
This is collective property. It was fought for and defended and developed by the citizen collective of the United States.
I did not fight for or develop it.
If you don't like it, you can renounce citizenship and leave.
Not without paying.
I already debunked.
Yeah, I can't afford paying. Yeah, I can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
Yep.
It costs too much to renounce your citizenship.
Yeah, you can.
No, you can't. Why should I have to leave? They're the ones who suck.
Well, you don't like the rules that's set forth by this collective that developed this land and protected.
I never consented to any of them.
It does not protect me. It endangers my existence. It is presently poking a fight with a nuclear power. It is endangering my presence. That's not protecting me. It's the opposite.
Just leave then.
If you're so scared of the government and nuclear war, why don't you leave? Why don't you leave? You
can the only thing worse than American domestic policy is American
Skeeter.
Force policy.
I'll tell you why. Skeeter, I'll tell you why. I will tell you why I don't leave. Because the lottery of birth should not violate consent.
It's not a lottery.
It is a lottery. Where I am born is just chance,
it's not
right?
A lottery.
It's total chance. If I'm born here in the United States and somebody else is born in Iraq or Africa or China, right? It's a complete happenstance. I get no choice. Now, the reason that I won't leave, Skeeter, I'm going to put you on hold. The reason I don't leave is because there is nowhere on planet Earth that is not claimed by a government. There is nowhere for me to go.
And I'll repeat what I said, just in case it went over.
Right,
oh, no, I won't.
There's nothing in anarcho-capitalism that says you have a right to land. Is there?
What does that have to do with
there
anything?
Is something in anarcho-capitalism that says I have a right to security in my own body. Like, no one is allowed to assault me or blow me up or put me in jail when I haven't harmed anybody.
If there was a place, Skeeter, I've had enough.
All right.
Skeeter, if there was a place on planet Earth where there was no government, I can tell you, and I could live, I can tell you I would be there. But
right.
Every grain of property is claimed by a government on planet Earth currently. Who did they buy it from, and why did they have the right to it?
So two things. I'll repeat what I said earlier, because he was, you know, talking over.
I hung up on him.
Right. I wanted you to mute him again so I could get it out.
Yeah.
The reason you don't leave America is because the only thing worse than American domestic policy is American foreign policy.
It's true.
Like you That's are in fact. Danger here.
It's a scientific fact.
You are much more danger there, wherever there happens to be, depending on the whims of politicians. And I will bring up, I don't know if I put this in the show prep or where I came across it. There was a dude, and I forget where, might have been South America, whatever.
Yeah.
And he was living in a cave for 26 years,
mm-hmm.
And then the government found out. And they said, sir,
you
have not paid your taxes for 26 years. You need to get out of that cave.
Yep.
And then, you know, so where can you go?
Yeah.
Right. In the middle of the wilderness, in a cave for 26 years, unmolested by the state,
yep.
Right up until the point they found out.
Yep.
And then they immediately go and molest this guy.
Like, oh, wait, we got to get this guy. He hasn't paid any taxes.
In 26 years.
Yeah.
And I got to say, anyone who's like, well, if you're so worried about nuclear war, why don't you leave, does not comprehend the nature of nuclear weapons.
Yes, like you can't run from a nuclear bomb.
They can put so much dust in the air that no plant gets to live. Yeah. And then we all starve.
Speaking of living in
Japan's fine.
Speaking of
what?
Living
Japan's
in
Japan's fine.
No, Japan is not fine.
There are,
if you block out the sun, we all die.
That's generally the consensus. There are some people who think that a minor subset of people would survive underground for some period of time, depending on how fortified and how far down their bunkers are, or if they escape to like caves and stuff like that.
Wishful thinking.
They may survive there.
I'm just saying the only country that has been hit by nuclear weapons in modern history, right, is currently doing just fine.
The country?
Japan.
Is it now?
Generally, yes.
Do you know anything about what's been going on in Japan?
Yeah, if there's a financial disaster waiting to happen that's bigger than the USD, I think it's Japan.
And you're saying that that's related to them being nuked in 1940s?
Yes. Yes, their financial situation has everything to do with their unconditional surrender to the United States.
Go on.
Well, everything that has existed in Japan for the last 60 years has been the effect of their unconditional surrender to the United States and the position that put them in world economic terms.
At one point in time, at least in the 80s, they were pretty high on the economic terms ladder, right? Like
relative to the United States.
They're a technological powerhouse. There's not all these mutated children like running around Japan.
And they're possibly going to die as a people based on the demographic shifts that have happened in their society.
United States nuked them in 1940.
It's a big part of it, yeah.
Like 80 years, they have 80 years to figure this out. And you're saying like because they were nuked, they shifted their own demographic didn't alter their public policy in any way to accommodate for it.
So Japan is fundamentally a warrior culture. And when you remove the army from the possibility of a warrior culture, then they have lost their identity. And once a culture has lost its identity, it can no longer effectively survive. And this has been the slow, painful death of Japan that happens when you take a warrior culture and tell them you're not allowed to have a military.
Okay.
I don't know enough about Japanese culture to speak intelligently about that. What I can say is that Japan is a state, just like every other country.
Okay.
Right? And it's making all the same horrible decisions that every other state is making. There's not a government on planet Earth that is not in debt.
Okay. Well, then I would suggest, if that's the case, right, then the source of that is still not the two nuclear weapons that were dropped on Japan.
It might be. They may have borrowed faster as a result in order to recover from the bombs.
Okay.
Right. So they may have gotten themselves into the monkey see, monkey do of every other state, where now it's a central bank and they borrow from it and they tax the people and all that kind of crap. It may have accelerated their debt because of their recovery. I don't know that for a fact, but that's the only, I'm kind of grasping at straws here, that's the only thing I can think of, was that they had to accelerate their borrowing to recover.
And at least through the 80s, technological financial powerhouse.
They certainly were. I know when computers were first coming out, right, Apple IIe and IBM and all that kind of stuff, it was Japan. Japan was blazing the trail for the
rest of
the world.
After having been bombed by two nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
40 years earlier.
I'm going to make the argument that they were not an economic powerhouse during the 80s. It's simply that the American system was showing its cracks during that period of time. That is where America went through the bust part of the cycle.
Like a bunch of plumbers.
Okay.
Showing its cracks.
But still, the technology, right, at that time, around the world, was mostly coming out of Japan. In a handful of
countries. They're definitely, they have been and continue to be a technological powerhouse, for sure. But that doesn't make them an economic powerhouse, and it doesn't mean that they have a society that has a likelihood to continue forward.
It's also funny that you mentioned that the warrior culture, like you can't pivot away from a warrior culture and survive. If we're trying to get to a peaceful society in a world of peace.
One would hope we could.
Well, then they ought to pivot, right, into something more peaceful.
And I kind of feel like they have. I mean, when's the last time you saw a grip of samurai?
Right. Well, the Yakuza is still a thing, but whatever.
Yeah, okay. But
that's the thing. They haven't had the opportunity to pivot as a people. They were forced to stop their development.
Well, but being a technological powerhouse shortly thereafter means that they got back on track fairly quickly.
Yeah, but I think that had to do with just conforming.
Conforming to what? Everybody else can conform.
To statism, right? To the rest of the planet's version of statism, right? I think Japan was doing stuff differently.
As opposed to having an emperor?
Well, yeah.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Benevolent dictator is still better than anything else on planet Earth, including the United States of America and their BS voting apparatus.
I mean,
popularity contest!
Fair enough, and if that's the claim, then they would have been even further along than they were, which was kind of peak in the 80s.
Yeah. I don't know enough. I don't know enough to really counter anything.
I don't think you have to know else. Much. You just have to, like, follow the logic.
Yeah, their entire identity since that event has been in relationship to the United States.
Okay.
Rather than having their own unique identity.
Got it. And if you're saying that they would have been better off keeping their own identity, right, then they would have, then that's the opportunity cost of where they are now, which is still way further along than a lot of other places.
What if a culture could pivot to something more peaceful, to something more voluntary, to something that didn't violate consent? Do you think that would be dangerous and ineffective?
You still got to defend it.
Libertarianism. This is from Medium.com. The belief that personal freedom is the highest value, government intervention is the worst, and the free market is the answer to all problems. That is not what libertarianism is.
No.
Just to make it clear, this author sounds like he doesn't get it already. It sounds good in theory, but in practice it's dangerous and ineffective, according to this author.
Yeah, and you'll notice, as with pretty much every critique of libertarianism, they never want to take on the non-aggression principle. I mean, for all of the stupidity of his arguments, Skeeter will at least take on the non-aggression principle.
Yeah.
Now, it's hard to argue against the idea that is so intuitive that you figured it out in kindergarten.
Taught you in kindergarten, yeah. For that matter. It's just, it was taught you in different words.
Right.
Yeah.
But at least he tries to take on the actual idea, whereas something like this, they can't take on a simple, obvious idea that instead of hitting each other and threatening each other and stealing from each other, we should have voluntary interactions instead. They can't take that on. Instead, they're going to couch it in these terms of like, oh, well, you just think the market can solve everything. And it's like, well, if by the market you mean voluntary human interaction, yes, I think that voluntary human interaction can solve any problem.
Maybe I missed something, because I thought I heard the same words that you guys said. Read what you said again. And then I want to know what specifically you guys take issue with as far as it being a part of libertarianism.
Okay. Well, so this author goes on. I'll read the first paragraph again. The belief that personal freedom is the highest value.
Okay.
We good with that?
Are we?
Is personal freedom the highest value?
No, absolutely not.
I don't think
not.
It's the highest value, but it is a value.
Okay.
So that's part of the issue, and plenty of people don't like this about libertarianism.
So qualifying it as the highest value you object to.
Absolutely.
Freedom is high up there.
Yeah, it is a value.
Very high.
Okay, but, all right.
And this is one of the things that a lot of people hate about libertarianism, is that, well, you don't have a suggestion of exactly what we should do. And you're right.
So
a libertarian can certainly have a value much higher than, like, service to God might be your highest value, and you be a libertarian. Or maybe it's eating as much chocolate as you can possibly eat in one lifetime, and that is your highest value. Both of those can exist in libertarianism.
Okay. So, number one, the belief that personal freedom is the highest value. That's, yeah.
All right.
Government intervention is the worst. Historically, anyway.
Okay.
Like, it seems like all
making,
of the...
I'm just making sure I heard what you said
all
right
of
the first
hugely
time.
Bad stuff is a result of government, and to me, that makes it the worst.
All right. If we're going to argue degrees, fine. We
yeah,
can
so
argue
far,
degrees.
that is the part that I agree with the most.
And,
I have quibbles, but...
And the free market is the answer to all problems. No, it's not the answer to all problems.
Well, I mean, we jokingly, before the show went on the air, with Ernie Hancock's phrases, freedom's the answer. What's the question?
Right.
And when you have freedom in the market to solve problems, that's typically better than coercion.
Yeah, like, what do you mean by the free market?
That's a fair question.
If you mean voluntary human interaction, then yes.
Right.
It is the solution to everything.
Okay.
Not a government-regulated market, which is not free.
Let's see if the author defines it differently. Okay.
So then the author says, let's start by explaining what libertarianism really is. Which I think we've just gone over.
That's funny. I thought you already did.
It's a political philosophy that advocates for minimal government intervention in economic and social affairs.
Any objections?
Yes.
Go on.
Yes. Okay, so first off, minimal is still existent.
Understood.
So, number two, libertarianism, as compared to voluntarism, which is the most libertarian thing. So libertarianism argues that you should have less.
Okay.
Wherever you're at, you should have less government interference.
I mean, even the original declaration for the Free State Project, right, was limit the role of government to maximizing whatever.
To like, no greater than, whatever it was, defense, courts, etc.
Whatever.
And that gives us the
minimal role of government.
Well, my
even as defined by people who moved for the Free State.
My problem with this phrasing is stuff like all, right?
Okay.
It's a political philosophy that advocates for minimal government intervention in just these two areas, economic and social affairs. Right.
I mean,
that's kind of a broad umbrella that could cover most things, but
yeah.
Human existence is far more than economic and social affairs.
Granted, but even again, the Cato's presentation of the freedom in the 50 states covers two areas, right? Personal freedom and economic freedom.
Like, yeah.
Those are the two. Those are the two big ones.
But he also says that it advocates for minimal government intervention and I don't know. Does it?
Yeah, no. The
does
framing,
it advocate
no,
minimal?
No, the framing
because,
there.
Like, for me, I advocate none.
Exactly.
But then again, I'm not necessarily a, quote, libertarian, unquote. I'm an anarchist.
No. You are a libertarian. You happen to be an anarchist, which is a subcategory.
So it's kind of like whiskey. Like, not all bourbon. No, all bourbon is whiskey, but not all whiskey is bourbon.
Exactly.
And so all anarchists are libertarian, but not all libertarians are anarchists?
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
Because for the anarchist, the minimal is zero.
Right.
Right. For libertarians, it's like, well, maybe we do need
public schools. But that's not minimal to me. That's none.
That's
different
fine,
than minimal.
Right. Well, the minimum amount of alcohol you can drink in a night is zero.
Yeah. And with all of this,
no,
you don't even.
You haven't drank any.
That's why it's zero.
That's not an amount.
Okay.
So it's minimal amount and not an amount are different.
All right.
And right here, you're already making things more complicated than you need to make them. What we're arguing for is less.
Okay.
Less government. Now, we can quibble amongst ourselves as to whether that means none or we should stop before none.
I was just thinking, man, there needs to be a politician whose name is like Lester so that he can be like, less government.
No, because then you just call him Lester Molester and it'd be an accurate statement.
But one of the issues is that if we ever got to, like, the night watchman state or constitutionalism or what have you, now, at that point, constitutionalists and minarchists would no longer be libertarians.
Oh, my gosh, this next statement is just...
Okay.
They'd be centrists at that point.
All right.
Here we go. The author continues, the idea is that individuals should be free to make their own choices without government interference. So far, so good.
Yeah.
He continues, though, and says, but here's the thing. That sounds great if you're a wealthy individual with power and privilege. For the rest of us, it's not so great. He's arguing that your freedom to make your own choices without government interference is not so great. Because this guy isn't wealthy and he has no power or privilege?
Well, those of us who have less stuff would have to not steal it from you. And that's just not so great for the rest of us.
I feel like the first part is close enough. I mean, we're quibbling over very minute details.
No, that second part, though, is like, what? Come on, man. Like, as a poor person, which I have been many times in my life, particularly before I left the Seattle area, even though I was making what, you know, is good money now, when I was living there, I was still frickin' poor.
Yeah.
When I got into the philosophy of freedom and the economic portion of it, all of a sudden I realized that it was up to me to make my life better. Nobody was going to come to my rescue and make it better for me. I had to take personal responsibility for improving my own life. And so with that came a great deal of mental freedom, because I was like, oh, I am free to do this. I don't have to wait on anybody else. I don't have to wait for times to change. I don't have to wait for government to interact. I don't have to sign up for a program. I need to make changes. I need to take the initiative. I need to make my life better. I need to improve my life. And the only person that's going to do it is me.
Yep.
So,
but Captain, you could just steal that from other people.
Well, you could if you don't have it.
But I'm, you know, sorry,
I'm not get it from someone that does.
I'm not a thief, Joe.
Well, this author is clearly about to make that argument, only they're going to make it sound a lot better than that.
Let's hear what this author has to say further. The dangers of libertarianism are many. When individuals are left to their own devices, inequality grows and society becomes more and more stratified. It's survival.
More stratified than having one group of people that get to monopolize violence and then the rest of us.
It's survival of the fittest. But instead of being based on actual strength, it's based on wealth and power. Oh, you mean like we have today with the state, where the wealthy and the powerful control everybody? This guy's a frickin' moron. Sorry, I'm getting up.
Well, they're good. That's why I picked it.
No, the author is clearly not like taking into account that with the state in place, these wealthy people that they're so concerned about can buy politicians.
Right, and do.
And do. And in fact, every politician gets bought by multiple rich people in order to do their bidding in office.
Yeah,
that's the system we have now.
Right. It's amazing. Earlier today, we were talking about this old clip from Joe Biden in the 70s, where they asked him how politics works, and he admitted on air, on TV in the 70s, that it was basically lobbying. Well, whoever brings me the most amount of money, I'm going to favor them. And he got elected in the 70s by being honest about it.
Well, didn't Obama say that...
monopoly on force?
Yeah. Government is a monopoly on violence.
Yeah.
603-283-6160 if you'd like to join us. Hour number 3 of Free Talk Live, still to come.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.